Hello and welcome to our podcast. Thank you for tuning in today as we go live to Hope City, Sheffield. We pray that this message inspires, encourages, and builds your faith as you listen. Enjoy the message.
Amen. Let His will be done. What a powerful statement. Let His will be done. Let His will be done in our lives. Let His will be done in our city, in our nation, across the earth. God is moving. I'm just relaxing myself here. Pastor Dave, my husband, otherwise known as Dave, is in New Zealand preaching today. And the beautiful thing about that, this was just an arrangement of heaven. Oh, you can go, Joe. Thank you. I forgot you were there with your dulcet tones. Dave, my son Ryan, who lives in Sydney, always wanted to be with his dad on his 60th birthday. And there was no way that was going to happen. And then Dave was asked to speak in New Zealand. And it's his actual birthday this Tuesday. So Ryan has been able to go to New Zealand and actually be with his dad on his 60th birthday. So on Tuesday, they're doing crazy stuff, like whitewater rafting down rivers and zip lining. And so we don't know. Ryan will probably be fine. Dave will probably have something broken, because I'm sure recently he had a little bit of a broken rib situation, which you didn't know about. So if he looked rather painful standing here, you know why. So today, the title of my message is Living on the Fault Line. And I'm leaning in this month to this series about us growing. And I just am really aware today that you're going to get some keys to growth that won't bore you. Because you know when someone says you need to grow and you're like, really? Grow, that's just painful. But I want you to understand, I want you to lean in today that God has been working in your yesterday, He's working in your now, and He's working in your future in Jesus' name. So we're going to start with a little bit of a geography lesson. Because grow, geography, about the same area of boredom in your head. A phrase used often if you live in Los Angeles or in San Francisco is, the big one is coming. California is locked and loaded as it sits on an earthquake belt. There are tremors and mini quakes often that hint at the rumbling beneath the surface. And everyone knows that another 100-year earthquake is destined to happen. California, you ready for it? This is Google Central. California sits at the border between two major tectonic plates. The Pacific plate, which is moving northwest, and the North American plate, which is sliding past it to the southeast. Are you blessed? And it's called the San Andreas Fault. It leveled San Francisco in 1906, and on average, Southern California has seen big quakes every 110 to 140 years. Eventually, the fault will have to break again. They are living on the fault line between the discomfort of the present rumblings and the huge event that is coming. Seismologists can't predict exactly when that will happen, but they know it will. And I am weather forecasting today. Very apt this morning. I thought my roof was going to blow off last night. I'm weather forecasting today, and I am believing that you will understand the rumble, the discomfort that you still may be living in. But it is leading you. Let me prophesy over your life this morning. The discomfort that you're living in is leading you. Because you don't live on an earthquake belt without an earthquake happening and a major eruption happening. And I believe today you will lean in by growing and knowing what is before, what is now, and what is to come. Are you with me? So I was sitting in a pastor's meeting, and be encouraged, we do have them. And we once a month, we have all the pastors from Hope City locations all across the world come together, and the overseas ones Skype on screens into the room. So we're all discussing about the life of our church together. And I was sitting in this pastor's meeting, and I got a picture in my spirit. And the picture was that we as a house were sitting on top of massive seismic tectonic plates that have been shifting beneath us. And they've been colliding together, and they've caused uneasiness. And they've caused some of us to shear off. And they've caused some of us to not understand what is going on, because it looks like our world is breaking open. And it looks like alongside us there's cracks in the path, and we cannot understand why they are there. It's been causing an uneasiness and a discomfort. But the earthquake of breakthrough lies beneath the season of discomfort. I have learned over the years that victory does not come by misinterpreting your season. Wow. Or by running away. Right. Or by the blame game. Come on, there's always somebody we want to blame for the season we're in. Or by having a hissy fit. I'm taking my ball and I'm going home because I don't want to play anymore. It comes by leaning in. And I felt God say in my spirit, it is our moment to lean into the limitation. To fight the limitation of this season is to constrain the magnitude of what God wants to do. There is an eruption expected. There is a change of boundaries and new possibilities about to erupt. Come on, church, I'm prophesying now. I'm not just... There is a change of season and possibilities and things just about to erupt. But in order to attain the blessing of what's coming, we need to learn to live on the fault line. You are built for not for containment, but for expansion. You are built to ride the moving of the plates of life beneath you in order to welcome the move of the Spirit of God that is coming your way. Is anybody with me this morning? Now this morning, I want to talk about Stuart. Here it comes, Stuart. I did warn, I text Stu and I said, you will be an example this morning. So he knows what's coming, front row and central. So just in the last number of weeks, this amazing opportunity has opened up for Stu and for About Face, which comes under the arm of City Hearts. This is, you've probably seen Stu on TV in a wonderful plum t-shirt. Filled the screen. So we're, as an Australian, if you don't understand, if an Australian mocks you, they love you, just so you can get into the psyche here. But this is just an amazing opportunity that has opened up, where Stu has the ability and is welcomed in now to go into the corridors of the prisons in our area. And he goes in when these young offenders come in. And he is, they call it Plan B. And he is welcomed in there now. He's been given a contract to go in there and to be the first person those young men see. Now, listen, that could be either... I won't go there. I was going to say it could be either terrifying or good, but you know, hey ho. It's an amazing opportunity that Stu's been given to go into these prisons and his team. But I know behind the scenes how Stu has managed his own prison. I know the story and the walk that Stu and Gemma have gone through to get to this point. I know behind the scenes that every single element of this has been submitted to the vision of City Hearts. Stu often comes to me and says, everything I do, Jen, tell me, change it, whatever. He's been completely submitted in his heart. He has walked in his own personal life through failure. He has walked the hallway of restriction. And now God has given him the keys. Figuratively, not literally. He's not letting young men out of jail when they should be there. But he's walked the whole way of restriction and has come out with a move of God. The prison analogy is so apt, and we sang a song this morning with that word in it. As we often feel that the limitations that we are living in are a prison, but I want to encourage you that the irritating fault line of what you think is a prison is actually the restriction that will be the very thing that God lands on in your life. And so I want to look at two men today who straddled that fault line. Two men in the Bible that lived a prison experience and then walked into something amazing. Are you leaning in, church, this morning? I was going to say I'm scared to drink out of the glass, but it's gone. Can somebody open that for me? That'd be great. Just don't get your hair near that. I'm scarred for life after. That'll be a preaching example at some point, the hair in the water. The first guy today I'm going to talk about is Joseph. The story of Joseph in Genesis. He was sold by his own family. He was sold into slavery, and he ended up seemingly abandoned and forgotten. Anybody ever felt abandoned and forgotten? Left alone in a prison. And when he was young, he had a sense of promise in his heart that he was going to do great things, but then he seemed to be purposelessly flailing around in a prison, overlooked. Nobody ever saw him except one, flailing around unnoticed in an Egyptian prison. He was betrayed, he was forgotten, and he was abandoned. But he kept the spirit of the lamb that seemed to be overcome by the spirit of the lion. But the lamb's spirit is the spirit that overcomes the world. Do you know, I was sitting yesterday just having my quiet time, and I felt God whispering in my heart, Jen, the lamb's spirit is always the spirit that overcomes. Being aggressive is never your way forward. Being the lamb, being kind, being the person that steps back and allows God to do beautiful things, that is the spirit, the lamb of God that overcomes the world. There's an amazing scripture in Psalm 105 about Joseph. It says, God's promise to Joseph purged his character until it was time for his dreams to come true. A lot goes on in prison, or so I'm told. I don't know. I've visited one day, but I've never lived in a prison, which you'll be glad to hear. But a lot goes on in prison. But one thing is for sure about prison, you don't get promoted for bad behavior. You get more time. And so we say to God, God, why am I still going round the mountain? He says, because you had bad behavior the first time you went around. And I've got to take you around again because I've got to kick out that attitude out of your life in order for me to use you. So we go round again. We go round again. Joseph, in his season, however, learnt to interpret. And he learnt to help the dreams of others. And he learnt to lean into his limitation. And as he leant into his limitation, God sped up his extradition. And I just sense in this house this morning, in order us, for many of us to grow, we need to lean into the limitation, which we think is horrible, but it's the very thing that grows us. It's the very thing that refines us and makes us who God wants to make us. And you know what? He loves us too much to leave us alone, just flailing around, not changing. He loves us too much. And so he works on our lives. You're like, I wished I hadn't come through that rain this morning to be told that God is working on my character. Your gift is not silenced while your platform is shut down. Do you know Joseph was in a prison? He was forgotten, he was abandoned, he was constantly overlooked. I remember when I was a young woman and I knew that, well, I can sing, but you don't know about that. And my son is 100 times better, but I can sing a bit. And I used to watch back in the day song leaders and stuff. And I used to think I could do that so much better. But you know, I never got the opportunity. Not once. Because back in my day, it was only the men that did stuff. Yep, says an older lady. And I used to watch and I used to feel weird with a sense of call on my life. And I used to not be able to understand it as a young woman because I knew that I was called to be a leader and I knew that I was called to be on the platform. But I had no idea that God was shaping something in me that was capable of carrying a church of 12 locations. I had no idea what God had to form in me to make me strong enough. So just because your gifting is silenced right now, and you're not standing in the midst of your dream right now, does not mean that God is silent about your future. He is just shaping you today. He's growing you. Your destiny is not an afterthought in God's heart while your immediate looks desperate. God's destiny for your life is still there, blatantly in God's mind. And he's doing what he needs to do to change you in order that you can do what you need to do. In Genesis 39, it says this. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and he granted him favor in the eyes of the warden. So the warden put him in charge of all those he held in prison. And he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. You need to be successful in your prison. You need to work that, baby. You need to work that job. You need to arrive there with a heavenly attitude and not a stinking attitude. You need to work that space that you find yourself in right now and allow that the touch of heaven and the presence of God to be on where you're at right now. Because if you submit to it and you thank God for it, he is so capable of promoting you into your next. Is anybody with me this morning? He's been with you in prison. He can't give us favor over the land until we embrace our prison. We need to embrace the beauty of our current limitation until he unlocks the door to the next. He does not this morning negate the fact that you feel like you're there. Because, you know, God loves us and he knows how we feel. He doesn't negate the fact, but there's a reason. But our God is a kingmaker. Because eventually Joseph was promoted to be second in charge of the whole land in which he suffered. And he went on to become a man that delivered an entire nation from famine. And not only that, he went on to be the man that could rescue his own family that had actually sold him into slavery, that he could rescue his whole family. All because he leaned into his limitation. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Genesis 45, verse 7 to 8. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you for a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you, it was not circumstances, it was not other people. It was not all the things we think has sent us to a place, for they were not the things that sent you here, but it was God. He made me father to Pharaoh and lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. For some today, there is an understanding of your current limitation. Realize that God is setting you up for breakthrough. And as I said at the beginning today, living on a fault line guarantees. There is a guarantee today that the eruption is coming. If you are living on those seismic tectonic plates this morning, an eruption lurks beneath the surface this morning. And you say, Pastor Jen, why do you always speak faith? Because I am a woman of faith. And I was young, but now I am old. But I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. My God always comes. My God is always faithful. My God will always break through for you. My God will always meet you at your point of need. My God will always promote you into destiny in Jesus' name. For God is working all things. If you don't know the scripture that was imprinted on Dave's desk that he got given last Sunday for his 60th. The scripture imprinted on that desk is Dave's life verse, which is, God is working all things together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Do you know, over the last couple of years, I've had a huge season of prison season, in a way, of unfair and untrue accusation. But you know what it's done in me? The result of this. Do you know what it's done in me? It's refined me. It's made me see more clearly. Thank you, demonic opposition. It's made me see more clearly who I am, whose I am, and don't mess with me, thank you very much. It's made me more leaning in to what I know is the gift on my life. It's made me understand the refinement of God. Was that the roof lifting off? God had a purpose in this season that only prison could produce. I want to read to you now about one other amazing character. You still awake? Are you aware God's doing something today? Thank you for the seal of approval. I want to talk to you about Paul from the New Testament. So Paul and his mate Silas were just doing nice stuff. They were great people. They were preaching the word of the Lord. And they were encouraging their church. And they antagonized a businessman. Basically, they antagonize this guy because they cast out demons out of a slave girl to free her, but it annoyed her businessman masters. So they were just being nice people. They were just loving people and doing Jesus stuff. And then this is what happened to them in Acts 16. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men being Jews, they exceedingly trouble our city. And they were thrown into jail for being nothing but being nice. Don't we feel like that sometimes? And Paul was locked up in a prison cell. Let me read to you Acts 16, long passage. Are you ready? About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Can you imagine Sheffield Jail? The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. In the modern day, he would have an inquiry. But he was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we are all here." The jailer called for the lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? You and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. And that night of, I think I've typed this wrong, but you can see the scripture on the screen. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them into his house and set a meal before him. And he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." So, we love that story, don't we? Because God opened the doors of the jail and all their chains fell loose. But did you ever look at it again and see the obvious. He didn't leave the prison. The chains came off. All the other prisoners' chains were loosed and nobody left. Why? Why did nobody leave at this point? He was given the opportunity to break out. But he chose not to jump at the first opportunity. But he chose to use this springboard of the prison for the deliverance of others. He could have run from his incarceration, but he waited for the jailer and his whole household to be saved. There could be more to your prison experience than just you. There could be a generation awaiting the outcome of your prison experience if you don't pick up your skirts and run too quick. If you put the feet under your table, under the dinner table, and wait for God to do something incredible with your prison experience. But this is what happened. This story got better and better. Because Paul demanded at that point, I want to go to Rome. So he didn't even leave at his second opportunity to come out of his prison. And then the scripture says he went to Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, Corinth, Ephesus, Macedonia, Greece, Jerusalem, Caesarea. He came before King Agrippa and then he finally got to Rome, all because he valued the prison. He chose to stay in the boundaries that God had put over his life. He chose to stay within the limitations of what God had placed over him because God had far more than he could ever imagine or even understand. It went beyond his understanding of his current situation because God had something so big. So good, Jen. Don't run away. Trust the boundary lines. Lean into the limitation. Your restriction is your promotion. Your restriction is the power of God on your life to touch others. Your restriction is learning something that somebody else needs. Your restriction sometimes of sickness is learning compassion for somebody else who's sick. I know because I've had 2 hip replacements. I understand it. That's why I went through it. Can't be any other reason. Other than to set off every metal detector in every airport in the world. And if I get just a little tip for free, if you have hip replacements, don't go too close to store things as you're walking out of stores because I set them off. And then I get frisked for having stolen things. And I have to go, I think it might be my artificial hips. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in for your amusement. The fault lines and boundaries of things that have seemingly dogged you are the birthing of influence and significance. Not just for you, but more importantly for a generation around you. In James 1 verse 4 it says, let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. But right at the end of this message, I want to go back to the beginning. I have faith in my spirit that there is an eruption about to happen. I can see it in my spirit. It's like it's on the tip of my fingers. I want to encourage you that every bit of shifting, every bit of movement, every bit of seeming cracks in the pavement, they're merely an indicator this morning that the big one is coming. I don't know whether I've mentioned this from the platform, I may have done, but a couple of weeks ago, this prophet we really respect sent Dave and I a message, like a verbal prophecy. We never met this man. And he sent us this prophecy, and part of it was, he said, there is a move of God about to happen in your church like it was 20 years ago. He knew nothing about us. He didn't know that it was 20 years ago that all the pastors that are now pastors of our locations were in uni in Sheffield. And I can sense in my spirit that today that we need to understand that the limitation we have been living in is God. I want you to stand with me this morning, church. We're going to have a moment of leaning in. And do you know what I've learnt? The most powerful thing to do in your limitation is to be Paul. Is to sing hymns and praise to God, even when the bars are looming in your face. And to be a people that just worship Him with abandon. That lift their arms to God and say, Father, even if you never bless me, I trust in you. I worship you. I thank you for the boundary lines that have fallen around my life. I thank you, Father God, for the limitations. I thank you, Lord God, that every single construct you have around my world right now is because of you. Our God is too powerful. Our God is too mighty not to be in charge. He's in charge. He's got you. I've felt over the years so many limitations on my life, and you just want to without swearing. Or some of us, we're swearing. But we're going to praise God. We're going to have a moment, I don't know what, something we're going to sing. And we're going to do two things this morning. We're going to thank Him for the limitation. We're going to praise Him in it. And then we're going to praise Him for the breakthrough. Amen, church. And I've just got a sense in this moment, I might go slightly over time, but I've got a sense that God's going to come and do something very powerful in this moment. In actual fact, let's just start singing for a moment. Let's begin a praise God. Come on, begin to lift your hands.
In the storm, you are peace, and your love won't let me go. You have spoken, and I know that it is so. By your stripes, I am healed. With one touch, I am made whole. You have spoken, and I know that it is so. Oh, in the storm, you are peace, and your love won't let me go. You have spoken, and I know that it is so.
Come on, begin to really praise Him. Lift your voice. Lift your voice like Paul and Silas. Lift your voice in your prison. Begin to praise Him. Begin to praise Him with your whole heart, your soul. This morning, you've got nothing better to do than get soaked out that door. Some of us this morning need to come along here and we need to thank God for our season. And it's going to be such a breakthrough in you today. And I believe the power of God's going to come this morning. Some of us need to praise God. I found myself on my knees by my bed thanking Him. Thanking Him for the last 7 years. because he's created in me a warrior that I wasn't before. He's created me in a strength that I haven't had before. And so we're going to sing again. And listen, Hope City, let's respond to God. Let's come down here and praise him. Let's come down here and believe God for the next and the eruption that's coming in Jesus' name. Come right now, right across this place, back to front.
We hope you've enjoyed our podcast today. If you have, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast right on our homepage so you can hear all the latest streams from Hope City Church. Why not head to our website at hopecity.church to keep up to date with all that's happening across Hope City.